Maybe you're looking to grow in Christ. Maybe you're looking to know if God does really exist. Well, you've come to the right place as we go to God's Word for answers for life. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming up next. Join us. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Each day we come to you with just a few minutes of time to spend in God's Word that we might grow in grace, that we might find ourselves encouraged in our walk with Christ. And for those who are seeking to know if God really does exist, well, the answers again are found right here in God's Word. Won't you join us for this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, we're continuing our study today in 2 Kings chapter 5 in the study of Naaman the Syrian. What a fascinating section. As we looked at this week, Jesus here, we're seeing the gospel all playing out, the gospel of Jesus Christ, as Naaman is brought to true faith in the Lord. Now, what we've seen as we've studied this is that the great problem of the human heart is pride. Pride will not allow us to come on the Lord's terms. Pride keeps us from the gospel message of grace. And pride wants to allow and produce and allow us to bring about salvation on our terms. Now, what's happened here in 2 Kings chapter 5 is that Naaman has been sent to the land of Israel. He has come with money. He has come with clothing, 10 changes, and he is not going to accept salvation as a gift. No. He's coming on his terms. A letter has been sent on his behalf by the king of Syria, telling the king of Israel to heal Naaman. Remember, this all came from a little slave girl back over in Syria who was of Israel, who announced that there was a prophet in Israel who could heal Naaman. And what we looked at this week, as we've studied this, Naaman was powerful, Naaman had money, Naaman had prestige, but he could not get rid of his leprosy. And that was all a picture of his spiritual condition before God. Naaman, the humbling process has already begun. And the Lord has used a little slave girl to announce the answer amidst everything else that is going on, kings and letters and chariots and the world's wisdom. The Lord is showing us his work in that which is foolish according to this world. So where we left off yesterday is verse 9. So Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elijah's house. This is a real moment. The most powerful military commander of the Syrian army, under direct commission from the king, comes in powerful kingly escort, horses and war chariots, and stands right in front of God's prophet's house. So what does Elijah do? I love verse 10. And Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." The thing that should strike us is that Elijah purposely did not even come out to meet Naaman. Elijah sends a messenger. And notice what the message was. Go dip 7 times in the Jordan, and you will be clean. Now you have to think about this. Put yourself in Naaman's shoes. Feel the anger? Look at verse 11. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy." Now, did you notice what that just exposed? Naaman had come to Elijah thinking that Elijah would heal him in how Naaman determined it should be done. "He should have greeted me. Does he know who showed up at his house?" So in terms of Naaman's healing, they were his own. His own way, his own method, all in the way that preserves his own honor. Naaman had tried everything. And now this prophet doesn't even come out to greet me, he thinks, but tells me to go to that filthy Jordan River and dip in it to be healed. Listen, that's like telling a cancer patient, who's been through chemotherapy at USC's Medical Center, to just drink our special milk from a Sumas cow and it will go away. That's totally below Naaman. Naaman is full of pride. He'll have nothing of it. So think of the scenario. The unlikely answer in 2 Kings 5 came through a little slave girl, and now an unlikely solution is given to him that requires the total emptying of himself. His pride is totally exposed, his self-esteem hurt, and he is deeply enraged and insulted by the solution. I don't need that. Verse 12, are not the Abana and the Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went in rage. The rivers of Damascus were powerful flowing rivers. This prophet of Israel expects me to go dip in that filthy Jordan. I will not stoop on my knees and go there. The mighty nations of Egypt and Chaldea and Syria are better than Israel. I'm not stooping down to this little significant Jordan River under this prophet who won't even come out to greet me to be healed. That's ridiculous. And that's what happens. Naaman turns around from the one who could heal, and he storms away in anger. The most powerful statement of this whole section, dear listener, is something his servants say to Naaman as he storms off in rage. Listen to their response. Now, keep in mind, we've had a slave girl respond. Now we have Naaman's servants respond. This is how God's speaking to Naaman. Notice their response. My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? That little phrase, if someone had told you to do something great, that something great means something difficult to carry out. If he would have told you to go climb Mount Carmel 7 times, would you not have done it? So it goes like this. How about this one? If Elijah had told you to do the hard work of their law, would you not have tried it? But all he says to you is wash and be clean. You see, this just showed the fundamental difference between the law and the gospel. Sinners will try anything and everything of their own might and their own works, their own law keeping, to try to cleanse themselves. Had Naaman been told to give all his money to the poor, then come follow, he might have. Had Naaman been told to submit and walk up Mount Carmel 20 times, he would have tried it. But submit to the simple message of the gospel of grace, go wash in the Jordan and you shall be clean, that was unthinkable. You see, this is the whole picture, dear listener, of the gospel. This is so important this week. This is the most important thing that we rehearse here. So if you're listening, listen carefully. We tell people as gospel preachers, come to Christ. And we say, all of your other great and powerful ways that promise salvation and deliverance, every other God, every other religion in this world is wrong. Very narrow, isn't it? All those other religions, all these other false gods are condemned. They cannot heal you. The rivers of Abana and Pharpar cannot heal, no matter how glorious they look, no matter what they offer you. What do we do as gospel preachers? We point people back to this little city of Bethlehem, the least of all the cities, that out of there came one born not in a king's palace, but in a stable, that he grew up in despised Nazareth, and that he rode not on a white stallion, but a little insignificant donkey. He was despised and rejected of men, and that when he was lifted up, it was not to a throne, but first a cross. And the Bible tells us that that message is foolishness to this world, that those who are dead in trespasses and sins hate it. They enrage, scoff at it as narrow and as hate speech or whatever they want to say. They won't receive it. It's foolishness to them. It's craziness to them. But the Bible says, God says, it's his power to save from our spiritual leprosy. You see, nothing makes the waters of the Jordan attractive to Naaman. And let me say this emphatically over the air today. Nothing makes Jesus Christ attractive to the natural man. No matter how relevant we are, no matter how we try to make him relevant to the masses, no matter how much we try to tickle people's ears to get them to accept Jesus, people today are just as insulted and enraged by the solution of God as ever. We tell them the same thing. Nothing you can do ever pleases God. All of your righteousness is as a filthy garment, Isaiah says. We give a simple message. I give a simple message over abounding grace. What is that message? Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Coming means believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him. Renounce yourself. Deny yourself. Confess that you can't save yourself, that all of your righteousness, all of your works, everything you've ever done is filthy and rotten, and you are a spiritual leper. And come to this glorious Savior. Come to this beautiful Savior, full of holiness and truth and righteousness. And you know what he'll do for you? He'll give you living water. He'll save you. He'll impute his righteousness to your account as if you had never sinned or been a sinner. That's justification by faith alone. We give this message. This is the heart of my message here at the Linden URC. I do what the apostle said. We plead with sinners, be reconciled to God. Knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. But today, people are more satisfied with the law. Just give us something to do. It comes in the form of give us practical steps for living. We'll be satisfied with that. It's the strangest of all things as a pastor. If I gave you today a list of how to be right with God, by nature, a lot of people would try that. Doesn't matter how hard, you would go and try it. You all have areas you do well, and in all of these areas, since you've lived pretty well in your lives, you want a preacher to be applicational and preach on that. And so you want some preaching on certain things that make you feel good about yourself. We need more sermons on this or that. And what happens? You produce a church of a whole lot of Pharisees that way who love to stand on the things they do well. And yet, what is the message that Naaman is hearing? All of your answers have failed. None of it heals you. You must humble yourself, beat your chest like the publican in the back of the church, cry out to God for mercy. And what does he do? He sends you somewhere. He sends you to that little insignificant, dirty Jordan to be washed. What a simple gospel. Come to the fountain of living waters and you shall be clean. Come to Jesus Christ and you will be washed. That message goes out to the ends of the earth. Anyone who heard today had God himself saying that to them. Come to my son and you will be cleansed. Some scoff. But if God's working on you, he's destroyed your pride so that today you would come to Christ. Oh, come to this fountain and you will be satisfied forever. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. are the worship service times on the Lord's Day. LindenURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.